So you mentioned the Rob, you mentioned the Pioneer Inn. Were you, Danny, you and Gene, were you housed at the Pioneer as well?
We were housed at the Pioneer, and the great fun was getting to it after we had a debriefing at a place on the corner that we can't talk about it anymore. There was some pretty adventurous driving, let me put it that way.
And I understand that you might have had an incident with the wallpaper at the hotel at one point?
There were many incidents back in those days. We had a lot of fun, let me put it that way. And the Pioneer is still missed very much because of its location on the Fox River and on Lake Winnebago. It was just a wonderful place to be close to the field and the kickback. They had all the things that we needed at the Pioneer Lounge and restaurant.
They had a restaurant, they had beds,
They had telephones. Beds too,
It was all good. Danny, what was your first year?
It was, as Gene was speaking, it was 76, and I was invited to come up, and I had not announced here before, so the Red Devils are going to fly. Then they're in the Pitt Specials, of course, that are in the museum now. And their signature move on takeoff with both airplanes over the course of their 25 years was a very exciting formation snap roll. So when that happened, Charlie Hillard flew out of the snap roll and started to descend and headed to the other runway, not the air show runway. And this leads to Paul and some of Paul's traits. Paul on this field could be everywhere at the same time. A lot of people swore he could levitate. So Charlie Hillard landed on the other runway way, way down there. And he fell out of the formation because there was a spark in the cockpit. He didn't know what the spark was from, so very wisely he terminated the flight. So he landed, rolled out, and got off the main runway over here onto the taxiway. And he said, as soon as I stopped the airplane on that taxiway, there was a head looking from behind me. And it was Paul saying, is everything okay? Charlie said, I do not know how he got over there that fast. It's physically impossible. And another piece of that story is that Gino left wing and Tommy Pobrezny on the right wing, they just continued on with the flight as if nothing had happened. It was marvelous showmanship. But later, I asked this guy, I said, Gino, what went on in your mind when Charlie dropped out? Were you concerned about Charlie, or were you concerned about, what was on your mind? What did you think about? And without hesitation, he said, Gino finally gets to leave. And that's the truth, isn't it? The ability for Paul to play practical jokes is legendary. And the boss that we had before Steve took over on the announcer stand as our chairman was Roscoe Morton, who volunteered continuously for over 50 years in that position. And Roscoe, as every announcer, you're standing up and your subject matter is in the sky, so your head is always up to whoever's flying. And Roscoe is a pretty serious guy, and he's got a power of concentration. So he's out on what's the announcer stand now, and he's looking up, and he's concentrating like crazy, and somebody's flying. And Pobrezny, from down below, started to rise up with his face until he was looking down at Roscoe, because he was taller than Roscoe. And from being an eloquent air show announcer, we heard, So just like Gino, I said, what went through your mind when that happened? And Roscoe said that I would either be kissed or fired. No matter what happened, he said it wasn't going to be pretty. He recovered the next day and all was well. It leads me to some other great things. Over the course of the years here, all these programs in the Theater in the Woods, Paul and Audrey were big in the community. They visited a lot of the supper clubs in town, and there was a gentleman by the name of Joe Scheibinger. Mm-hmm. Thank you for reminding me of that. They heard Joe at one of the supper clubs. He, a very talented man, knew a lot of songs, a lot of repertoire. And Paul, in his great wisdom, said, will you volunteer for the EAA? And Joe said without hesitation, yes, I will. So they would put Joe at the base of the stage over here with this big giant organ, and in between the programs or before the program started, Joe would take requests from the audience. This is a lot like Stump the Stars. So one night somebody asked him, when you see Paul out in the supper clubs or when you see him here and you're working, does he ever request a song? He said, oh yes, without a shadow of a doubt, Paul has a favorite polka. He loved to dance, he loved the polka. And I said, what is it? He said, it's the polka, In Heaven They Have No Beer. So what we're going to do is have a little fun with you, the audience, and these monitors. We're going to turn up the house lights now. And on the monitor, Steve and the guys backstage are going to put the lyrics of Frankie Yankovic and the Polka Kings on our screen. They're going to do that now, as we rehearsed. Please. All right, the house lights are going up. Next, we need the words on the screen.
Yep.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
Where are the screens?
I hope.
There we
go. Okay, now you can read this. And the great thing about this is the first set of lyrics and the last set of lyrics are the same. All right, now it's a great song for audience participation because it's a la-la song. In the middle, it goes la, 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 la for about five choruses. So that's going to be your part. So here's what I want. We got to get all the right, In Heaven They Have No Beer, and I know you probably did this, but I have to get my props out to make this a real German drinking song. And you can use your imagination. And I, on the other hand, have to be realistic in show business. So I'm only doing this for theatrics. Okay, now, for Paul and Audrey, would you stand up and sing with us? Yeah, let's do it. And just hoist your imaginary glass in the air. Now what we're going to do to these words are add the music. And then you sing along with Frankie and the crew. All right, let's hit the music, and everybody's going to sing. You're going to get real loud, and you're going to do the la la la. Yeah, you got it. Okay.
In heaven, there is no beer. That's why we drink it here.
And when we're gone from here, all of our friends will be home here.
La, 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 la. Get ready for the la la now. During the Miss EAA pageant, they would play these songs while the judges made their decisions.
No beer.
Audrey Pobrezzi and I would
drink it here.
Okay, let's get real loud.
And when we're gone from here, all our friends will be drinking our beer. La 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 la.
See how he did it? La 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 la.
La 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 la. La 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 la. All our friends will be drinking our beer.
You're free to have one after the program is over. You folks were great. Please be seated. Please be comfortable. And thank you for that tribute to Paul and Audrey.
And I'd like to thank our panelists for taking us back to the 1970s. Harry Chapin, welcome back. Don't be embarrassed anymore. It's all right. Rob Unger, thank you.
Thank you.
Gene Susi, we'll see you flying this week. And the one and only Mr. Hollywood, Danny Klishman. Gentlemen, thank you very much.